Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our show. This is Health Awareness, and you can check out our website on healthawareness.strikingly.com. Be sure to check out our previous episodes. This is going to be our third episode with Dr. David Phillipson, and he is in Huntington Beach, California. You can check out Yelp and see all of the wonderful reviews of Dr. David, number one rated Huntington Beach chiropractor. Last week we left off, and I was asking a question about hydrocolon therapy. And Dr. David, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. And we also have our host today. Henry is with us, and I'm Kelsey with you, and Mary and Eric is with us as well. And if we have any chats or questions, then we'll bring them up as we go. Eric will let us know in our Blog Talk Radio studio chat. So last week we had on Dr. David, and I let him know that I have a friend here that actually was doing chiropractic, and before he would go to chiropractic, he would get hydrocolon therapy or high colonics. And so I'm curious if Dr. David could talk to us about that and why someone would do that and go to the chiropractor too. So could you tell us about that, Dr. David?
Sure. Well, colonic therapy, I think, can be wonderful. Just amazing tool for helping to restore health or improve your health. I think the biggest thing in healthcare is to have some concept of the different systems of the body and what they can and can't do and how to help get the systems functioning and then making sure that all the systems are starting to work together in a comprehensive way. I think for a lot of people, they don't have enough knowledge, so they're just kind of taking a piece here and a piece there and hoping that that the piece that they chose is going to make a difference, and sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. So colonic therapy, I think more and more as we start to understand how the body functions better and better. You know, it used to be the old health gurus would talk about that death begins in the colon, right? This goes back to colonic therapy. They were doing it 100 years ago, and they said death begins in the colon. Well, you know, I think they had a lot on the ball, and I think a better way of putting it is life begins in the colon, or abundant health, as one of the critical foundations. We talked about it last time, though. I thought the spine and making sure there's no interference in the nerve flow is one of the foundational pillars of health. And I think right next to that, and I don't know if it's one, two, or they're both equal, but very, very important, is a colon that is functioning optimally. So I think within that, you can break that down into two major parts. I think number one, not necessarily in that order, but we'll start with that as number one, is you have to make sure the colon is not completely overloaded. Okay? So you could say, in a sense, the colon acts as the sewer system for the is the human body. So imagine if all the sewers were clogged and backed up. What would happen in your house? Every time you flush the toilet, it would pour out on the floor. When you go to wash your dishes, that would pour out on the floor. Imagine if all your toilets were overflowing and none of the sinks would work. What would happen in your house? Well, in a very short time, it would become toxic and unlivable, right? You still there?
Yes, that's a great point. I want to give you the time to talk.
Okay, so you can say colonic therapy is a way of cleaning out colon when it's been overloaded to the point where it's no longer really functioning properly. When the colon is functioning properly as a sewer system, ideally you should be going to the bathroom, a bowel movement, at least once a day, ideally after every meal. And when you have an evacuation, it should be complete. Now, you don't know what that means unless you've had one. Now, there's lots of people, what's happened is their colon is not functioning well at all. And rather than completely emptying out every day, you're retaining fecal matter, right? And there's some people that they can be retaining 40 or more pounds of fecal matter a day. Now, listen, we're going to get gross here, but this is important. We're talking about health, okay? Imagine if you're retaining even 20 pounds of fecal matter. How is that retained? It's retained. It's not moving out completely with each bowel movement. Now, fecal matter is some of the most poisonous substance you're going to have in the body. Right? You want to give somebody a potentially fatal infection, you can put some fecal matter on a sharp object and cut them with it. The infection could be life-threatening. So the colon is holding some of the most dangerous bacteria in your body, and the byproducts of digesting food. Now imagine if you took a chopped up a piece of steak and put it in a nice warm environment and covered it with some really nasty bacteria and just let it rot. Imagine the bacteria and the toxicity of a rotting piece of meat. Well, okay, so if you digest it properly, it's not quite that bad, but still, the byproducts of some of the food that you eat and is moving through your body is carcinogenic. And this is one of the reasons why heavy meat eaters tend to have higher incidence of colon cancer, because you're getting chemicals that are carcinogenic pressed up against the most sensitive tissue of the colon 24 hours a day. And after a period of years, the cells in the lining of your colon start to mutate and become cancerous, right? So that's part one. The colonic therapy helps completely flush out the colon, right? So if you're holding massive amounts of extra fecal matter, your body may be past. Well, one of the things that it'll do is it'll stretch out the colon. The colon moves material through from the upper part down through the rectum and out through muscular contraction. It's called peristalsis, right? But what happens when their bowel gets stretched from all this fecal matter, those muscles get weaker and weaker and weaker till finally it's not really moving things through very well at all. And this is where a colonic is almost absolutely necessary to help your body has been overwhelmed. So you can start to flush out completely. And colonic therapy, the way it works is it's a small amount of water that's put in, and then they stop, and then it causes the peristaltic action to contract and move it out. So in a sense, it's also like weightlifting for your colon. When the colon has been damaged and has lost its ability to really function well, colonic therapy can start to restore the peristaltic action and the strength in the muscles of the colon to begin to function properly. So that's part one. Part one is cleaning out the colon when it's been overwhelmed. It's very much like we talked about subluxation. Subluxation is when a bone gets jammed in your spine so far out of place that you can no longer get it moving on your own. You know, a lot of times when I see kids take a fall, you get up and you see them just kind of stretch because they feel something a little stuck, and it pops back into place and they go about their business, everything's fine. But what if they fell hard enough that it jammed beyond their ability to get it moving? Well, unless it's corrected, it starts to degenerate, and 30 years later they end up in my office with arthritic changes in their spine. because they were not able to get it moving again. So it's the same thing with the colon. The colon can get, especially with modern diet, I think with the natural diet that human beings were designed to eat, mostly raw vegetables and seeds and nuts with a little bit of animal protein, I think that usually kept the colon very, very healthy and moving. But with a modern diet, with processed foods and fried foods and tons of meat and not enough natural plant fiber, it's easy for that whole system to overload and quit functioning properly. So that's number one. So for colonic therapy is very good for getting the colon flushed out and starting to function properly. Now, number two, which is just as important and in some ways more important, is a healthy biome. What do I mean by a healthy biome? Nature designed the human gut to be filled with healthy, friendly bacteria that work synergistically with each other. It's the most amazing thing. The most amazing research is going on with the biome right now. And I truly feel that the biome might be one of the most important things for human health. And the biome, the way it was designed by nature, is you actually get inoculated during birth with your mother's bacterial heritage. It's passed from one human to another. The proper bacteria, when the baby passes through the vaginal canal, the vaginal canal should naturally have a lot of this good and friendly bacteria in it, which helps keep it healthy, and it gets forced into the mouth and the nose, and the baby is inoculated with the mom's bacteria. Up until that point, when the baby's in the womb, the baby's sterile. And when it passes through the vaginal canal, the baby gets inoculated with mom's bacteria. That's ingested, it moves down into the gut, and that starts to set up house in the baby's digestive tract. Now, here's the amazing thing about these bacterial colonies. They communicate with each other as a colony. They form almost like one living organism that communicates with each other, and when any new bacteria comes down the digestive tract, it has to send a signal to this colony. And it sends a signal of who it is to the colony. And if it's a normal, healthy colony, and it's the wrong signal, the colony will then destroy the bacteria. And that's how it helps keep out bad stuff. It forms a very powerful colony. Now, here's the interesting thing. Couple interesting things. The more diverse type of fiber and plant fibers you eat, it supports a wider and wider array of different type of beneficial bacteria. And I kind of like to look at it like in Sleeping Beauty, when you had the fairies come, I believe it was Sleeping Beauty, and they all came and they had a particular blessing to give to Sleeping Beauty. One gave intelligence, the other gave beauty, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the different strains of bacteria designed by nature each have a unique gift to give to the human being. Now, it's really interesting because there was a scientist that went all over the world studying different long-lived cultures. And there was this one culture in the Caribbean that they regularly lived to 100+. But all they ever ate really primarily was sweet potatoes. Now, sweet potatoes didn't have any essential fatty acids. It didn't have amino acids. It had very few vitamins, but yet these people were abundantly healthy. Well, it turned out that those sweet potatoes sustained a colony of bacteria in their guts that produced all the vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids they needed for long life and good health.
Wow, that's a whole lot. That's good. Were you going to say something else?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say that the indigenous people in New Zealand, the Maori, they had a diet predominantly of sweet potato and sea vegetables and some like shellfish and fish, and they were super healthy according to Weston A. Price. And I just wanted to ask you quickly, you mentioned the diet that humans are designed to eat, and you said raw vegetables, nuts, seeds, and a bit of animal protein. Do you think you could talk briefly about your diet and possibly how you came to eat what you do now?
All right. So my diet, I'm a vegetarian. So I'm a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian for 20 years. I'm not a vegetarian for health reasons. I'm a vegetarian for spiritual reasons. Honestly, if I was to point to a diet that I thought was close to ideal, I would say paleo or the Rosedale diet. There's a diet designed by Ron Rosedale, MD. It never really caught on, never was very popular, but I think it's probably one of the most scientific diets I've ever seen. You can go on Amazon and buy one of his books called The Rosedale Diet for like a buck. He printed it about 20 years ago. It's still ahead of almost anything else I've ever seen. So either the paleo diet or the Rosedale diet or both, I think some of the ideal ways to eat. And I think it's closer to how nature intended us to eat. What was interesting about the bacteria, now here's something that's mind-blowing. It turns out that there are more neurons in your gut than there are in your spinal cord. So it's referred to as the second brain. Now what's really interesting, here's where it really gets mind-blowing. It turns out that this colony plugs into the nervous system through your gut and monitors your health. It monitors hormonal level, endocrine level. It monitors many levels and helps produce what you need to be healthy. So some of the leading scientists are saying now that the biome or your gut is the largest endocrine gland in the body. Endocrine glands are like your pituitary, your thyroid, your pancreas. So it turns out that a health functioning biome is the largest endocrine gland in the body. It plugs directly into your nervous system.
Now, I have a question about hydrocolon therapy. So you mentioned that someone could have 20 pounds of fecal matter. Okay, so they go and do hydrocolon therapy. Is that something that can be expelled in one sitting, or do they have to come back multiple times?
You know, that's a really good question. A lot of the old health practitioners talked about that sometimes this fecal matter has been in there so long it forms almost like a crusty shell up against the walls of the colon and almost like a hard pipe that then you're just moving some fecal matter through the center of that pipe. So you can have some people, unless you've ever experienced a completely empty colon, your stomach gets flatter and you just have this very, very pleasant feeling of emptiness in your intestines that just feel light and comfortable. And many people don't even know what that feels like because they're retaining so much fecal matter. So I would imagine it all depends on how caked and dried up all that is. I think maybe for the average young person, maybe the first visit can start to clean them out. It's really interesting. I remember hearing people that start drinking fresh green juice, and they say they're on the toilet all day for 2-3 days. Well, they're finally starting to move all that out. So I think it all depends on your individual situation, how long it's been there, how much is there. So really, the best thing, if you're going to seek colonic therapy, I think it's very, 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 very important that they are fanatical about keeping their equipment clean and sterile. Okay. Because when you're doing colon therapy, you can be moving out some pretty god-awful stuff out of somebody. They have to be scrupulous about being very clean and sterilizing their equipment after every patient. So that would be the thing. I mean, you know, thank God we've got in this country now something called Yelp. Yelp just gives you such a wonderful insight into what's happening in any business that you're looking to deal with. So that's, I recently recommended clock therapy to a patient that I thought desperately needed it. And I went through Yelp, and I'm looking for people to say, oh my God, you know, these people are so clean, I did so good, and they're, you know, they're honest and all that stuff. So, and if you have any doubts at all, you know, ask them, what are your procedures for keeping your equipment sterilized? Because that's very, very important. Okay, so you just want to go to Yelp if you have that available to you and just find somebody that just seems to have the highest ratings. Everybody is just really, really pleased. And then you can always call them and ask, listen, I'm concerned about any type of contagion of any type of bacteria or parasites. What are your sterilization procedures? So it never hurts to ask.
Right. Did you find anyone by any chance that was a good hydrocolon therapist?
When I looked on Yelp here in this local area, I actually was surprised. There was like 20 local ones that quite a few of them had very, very high ratings. So I haven't been, but in Southern California we apparently have quite a few, and I'm sure that's not the same in other areas, so we're pretty lucky here that we have a lot of those options available. There's no particular one I can recommend from personal experience, but once again, I think Yelp is a great resource, followed up by just phone calls and just ask them whatever you need. Listen, in general, I think when you go to any healthcare practitioner, if they're not willing to answer all your questions, then I'd move on. You know, if they're starting to get an attitude that you're asking too many questions, I would definitely go to the next person. Because if they're too arrogant to be willing to address your fears, then they're probably too arrogant to be doing what's right also.
That's good advice. Thank you. I'm just one more question,
you're
and
welcome.
Then it sounds like Mary wants to ask you something. Do you know how long
the
process take? Is it half hour, 20 minutes, hour? Just curious.
You know, I don't know. I have to be honest with you. I've never had a colonic therapy. I've never had it done personally. I keep meaning to get it done, but I've been a vegetarian so long that, honestly, that I detoxified a long time ago. So it still wouldn't hurt. I think it's a good idea for everybody, even if you don't have a lot of blockage, because it just really kicks your excretion in high gear. It really helps your body to clean out a lot of toxins. So that's something like I've been meaning to do it for years. I never have. But I'm guessing, but I'm sure it's at least a half hour. But really, you just call up your local place and just ask them. They can answer all those questions.
Sure. Thank you. We appreciate all your knowledge. Go ahead, Mary. Did you want to ask something to Dr. David?
Yeah, Dr. David. Thank you so much for going into with the inoculations with the babies and natural immunity. And it sounds like you have changed, like, your lifestyle with food, and maybe for your spiritual reasons or, you know, the knowledge that you have within the medical field and a lot of the studies that you've done, that you've noticed that with the right diet, you can, you know, we can naturally heal ourselves and we can naturally protect ourselves from, you know, certain diseases. But you mentioned, you said this biome. Can you spell it? And am I not saying it right? What exactly is it? Is it a natural film in our body that helps protect us? Is that what that is?
Well, so the biome, B-I-O-M-E, refers to the bacterial colony within your gut, primarily your large intestine. So that's the biome, just refers to that. So you can have a healthy biome or an unhealthy biome. So the biome is just the bacterial colony in your large intestine. So an unhealthy biome, you no longer have the things that improve human health, and you have an abundance of things that are harming human health. And unfortunately, it's almost like the modern society, Western society, has designed techniques of destroying a healthy biome. GMOs selectively destroy the healthy bacteria. Glyphosates, the pesticides, and also what's produced in GMOs, selectively damage a healthy biome. Artificial sweeteners selectively damage the good bacteria. Of course, antibiotics damage the good bacteria.
Yeah, it's almost like everything we eat, right?
Yeah, it's almost like it was deliberately engineered that way, and that's a whole other radio show to do. Let's not go down that rabbit hole right now, because that goes pretty deep. But whether it's intentional or unintentional, the fact is the Western lifestyle is damaging biome tremendously. So I think I mentioned last time Megaspore Biotic. Did I mention that last time?
Yes, you did. I had some more questions along those lines, so go ahead, please.
Right. So as I put more and more of my patients on this stuff, I'm seeing the most amazing results. But I'm seeing amazing results because everybody's walking around with a damaged biome. I don't see how you could be living in the world these days, especially in the States, without having a severely damaged biome, you know? So I'm seeing amazing results because it's helping people get back to the normal state they should be in. And that's now so incredibly uncommon to have somebody in a normal state. Almost everybody's walking around with some sort of pathology going on in their body. And it takes a lot of knowledge to understand how to take care of yourself in these modern times, because it almost seems like the whole system of nutrition and healthcare is designed to damage us.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think the probiotics are great, and obviously changing your diet would be an excellent choice. You also mentioned how natural inoculation happens when mothers are having those children. What happens if you have a C-section? Would you consider vaccinations at that point, or do you think the baby can build up the immune system?
The baby can certainly build up a natural. I think. And I'm not absolutely sure, but I seem to be remembering that breastfeeding will allow for some of that. So, but now we have things like this Megaspore Biotic. It's just amazing. And I think what happens is, if you start with just a fundamental minimum of the healthy biome, what happens is it sets up an environment that other healthy bacteria can now come in and begin to join that. So I think the more varied foods you eat, and especially organic, fresh vegetables, where you're not washing them, scrubbing them to death, because a lot of this bacteria lives in the soil. It lives in the soil, and when the plants grow out of the soil, it'll carry some of the bacteria in the form of a spore. And you eat that, especially if you're not scrubbing that vegetable to death, if they've been raised in organic soil. And once again, organic soil has its own biome. Healthy soil is filled with living bacteria and earthworms and all these things that give life. And soil is a living entity that's filled with its own healthy bacteria that then produces spores, and the spores then are on the vegetables, and we eat the vegetables, and it sets up in our gut and blesses us with its unique genetic profile depending on the different bacteria. And so it turns out different plants, the fiber tends to be friendly towards different friendly bacteria. So the more varied your diet with these vegetables especially ones grown in organic soil where you're not scrubbing it to death, then I think you start to build up the biome, the diversity and the amount as time goes on. And this is why, this is one of the things that has changed my mind about nutrition. I always used to think in terms of nutrition is what you put in your body and you derive the nourishment from the food. Well, what science is now showing is a huge part of your nutrition is what the healthy bacteria in your gut makes. The healthy bacteria in your gut makes substances that we don't have anywhere else that are needed for optimum human health. And I think that's one of the reasons when people start going on a really healthy diet, especially eating organically grown fresh vegetables and fruits, that they slowly but surely get healthier and healthier and healthier. Well, part of it is the nutrients in the food, but another huge part of it is as that biome gets larger and more diverse, your health dramatically starts to increase. So I no longer think of it in terms of just the food you put in your mouth, but I think of it as like a little friend inside me. So, you know, a lot of times I want to make sure I get enough fiber because they live primarily on insoluble vegetable fibers. So that's really important that you eat plenty of fiber, not just for the fact that it keeps your colon clean, but the fact that this is what's nourishing a lot of the friendly bacteria in your gut.
There's so much wonderful information in what you just shared. So many questions come up. And about the breastfeeding, from what I understand, when babies are breastfeeding and they have some type of virus, that the mother actually will start to produce whatever antibodies it is for that child. So there's a lot of good stuff in the breast milk for the children. And so we're talking about probiotics in the gut. And what about fermented foods? Do you eat fermented foods, or do you recommend fermenting vegetables or fruits even?
Yeah, so I started experimenting with kefir a few years ago, and I was, after looking at all the fermented things, I was looking for something that was just easy, quick, and beneficial. So I think really if you're looking for something really good for you, easy and quick, kefir, where you grow off your own kefir grains, is super simple and super beneficial. Super beneficial. But the more I studied it, the more I thought, you know what? I don't think much of the bacteria from a fermented food actually makes it past the acid of the stomach. Now, I may be wrong about that, but I don't think much does. Now, there's two caveats off of that. Number one, then why do people get such good results from fermented food? Number one is in your gut, when the good bacteria actually are producing these substances that are good for your health, I think when you ferment food, I think they produce that in the food. So it may not necessarily be the bacteria that's improving your health, but the products of fermentation that you then eat and absorb. That's number one. Number two, it occurs to me, this bacteria, a certain amount of it might actually go into the spore form in the fermented food. If it goes into the spore form, then it sails through the digestive tract, no problem. It's the bacteria that gets destroyed by the stomach acid. So it could be that some, and I talked to a fermenter, and they go, well, you know, that some of these fermentations, they're so acidic that these are a bacteria that can handle the stomach acid. Well, that's possible. But the other thing is that it might actually go into spore form and go down in the gut. And then the third thing is the product of fermentation. So any culture, really long-lived culture, anywhere in the world, they almost always have some sort of fermented food, right? So like I said, I looked into making my own sauerkraut, and I just never got around to it. It was a little bit work-intensive, not too much. But the kefir from your own grains is super simple because you can ferment the kefir at room temperature. It's not like yogurt. You got to hit the exact right temperature, and you got to sterilize everything and make sure you have the proper culture. Plus, kefir is, instead of one bacteria, it's like 27 different bacteria, and along with about three or four healthy fungus, which is good because candida is a fungus. So sometimes you need a good fungus to push out the bad fungus. So kefir, when I've had people start drinking their own fresh-made kefir, almost everybody reports all kinds of great benefits. And like I said, you can make it once you put lay out the money for a starter culture, which is less than $20 from Amazon. You can just keep it going forever, and you just for the price of a gallon of milk, you can make a gallon of kefir and just do wonderful things for you yourself.
You know, I actually, a couple years ago, used to make water kefir, and I loved it. I'd add blueberries, and it would just ferment in 24 hours, and then if I let it go for 2 days, then it would turn into, like, an alcohol. But it was really fun putting all the different fruits in it, and it was like a natural soda. And I had a lot of fun, too, making it with some of the kids in the neighborhood. We made it with ginger, so they had, like, a ginger ale. And
nice.
I'll go ahead. Do you have something?
No, I just said nice. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It makes me want to get some kefir again. So, and you mentioned fiber. So are there certain plants that have a lot of fiber that you eat, and you would suggest that to others? Because this all has to do with the gut is what you're seeing.
So I think because diversity is important, not only for nutrition, but preventing allergies and all that, I think the best thing is just eat the plants that are in season and just rotate. Well, you know, that doesn't work like the same way now because we get food from all over the world. But really, you know, if you can rotate through the larger amount of different vegetables that you can eat, I think the better.
Okay. Well, Henry, did you want to ask your question?
Yeah, one other question I had was, I've seen people making, like, probiotic foods like yogurts and cheeses and sauerkrauts and things. I was wondering if with something like your Megaspore probiotic that you take, is it worthwhile putting that in the probiotic foods people are making to multiply it? Or will it not multiply the spores and, like you said, just be bacteria that's broken down in the gut, in the stomach?
So that's a really good question. When I listened to the microbiologist that developed Megaspore Biotic, really great. You can pull them up on YouTube, completely free. Krishnan Kiernan, I believe. So if you pull up Megaspore Biotic, he's the Indian American fellow from India. I think he was born and raised in this country. Really brilliant guy, and he looks amazing. He's like almost 40, but his skin looks like he's like 10. He has the most amazing skin, and he credits a lot of that to the K2, vitamin K2, which it just so happens that the Megaspore Biotic has a bacteria that produces K2 in your gut. But anyway, one of the things that he said, what the research shows, that a lot of the fermented foods are a type of a lactobacillus. He said the problem is so many people are taking way more lactobacillus than they should, and actually can create problems. So the Megaspore Biotic is a bacillus. It's not the lactobacillus. It's off the top of my head, the only one I remember is Bacillus subtilis, and that actually is the same bacteria they use to make natto, which is tremendous for your health. But so the bacillus, it turns out there's like gosh, I'm forgetting now, but I think he had said like 11 different zones in the colon that each are home to a specific type of bacteria that's supposed to process at that region. And when you put an overabundance of one type, specifically when you're eating tons of fermented food, you might actually be causing an imbalance. So some people, actually, the more fermented food they eat, the more problems they start to have. So once again, more is not always better. The right amount is better. And so classically, a lot of people that eat fermented food, they use it as like a side dish with their meal. It's not like they just eat, you know, gallons of it for a meal. It's a side dish. And that's probably wise. So the Megaspore Biotic, what makes it completely different than anything I've ever seen before is its bacillus and not the lactobacillus. It's a different type of bacteria. It's a strain of 5 genetically pure, and they're very careful about this. And here's one of the problems with a lot of probiotics people take. They're not super careful about their strain. A lot of times you can get some strains in there that are pathological, that shouldn't be in there. And that's why some people have had really mixed results with probiotics. So these are 5 genetically pure strains of bacillus that are in the spore form. And this is a unique process they developed. They researched that I don't know if anyone else has. I kind of don't think so. That forces these bacteria to go in the spore form. The spore form is more like the seed. That's how we were intended by nature to take these, as the spore. As a spore, it goes through the acid of the stomach easily, right? So you don't want to screw around this and start trying to make it bloom out and ferment it, because now it turned back into a bacteria. The chances of it getting down where it belongs now becomes slim. And this is the other thing that they found with a lot of their research, that for most of the probiotics people are taking, very little of it actually makes it down where it belongs. So this is one of the reasons why this particular... Listen, I don't know if I mentioned it last time, but I first found out about this stuff. I was watching Mercola. You guys familiar with Mercola?
Yeah, we've subscribed to his newsletters.
Right. So I was watching Mercola, and he introduced this doctor. He was a German doctor practicing in the U.S., and he said, this is one of my mentors, and he said, this guy treats more sick people than almost anyone else I know. So he specializes in really, really sick folks. So then this guy gets on, and he starts talking about this most amazing probiotic that he started to use. That he saw more good results than with almost anything else he had ever used before. So that got my attention. Now, he wasn't going to really give the name of it, because what he was doing was buying it and relabeling it under his label and then selling it. So he wanted to actually sell his stuff, right? So I looked the guy up, and I found some earlier articles where he then mentioned the name of the product. This was before he was relabeling it, and it was the Megaspore Biotic. So I looked them up and started seeing amazing reviews on their product, but it turns out they only sell to healthcare physicians. So as a chiropractor, I qualified, so I signed up and started to buy and use their product. I was very impressed personally, because I think I had mentioned I had a touch of eczema on my face that I'd had most of my life, that nothing I ever tried got
Dr.
rid
David,
of it. I could. Yeah.
Dr. David, we're about 1 minute till we get dropped off. I want to invite you on to another show if you have time, and we really appreciate all the information and education that you just provided. So we'll see everybody
no problem,
next
Kelsey.
Time. We're probably going to drop off here soon. Okay, thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dr. Dave. That was cool.
You're welcome.